This is the Magic Word Podcast.com.
Bright light city, gonna set my soul, gonna set my soul on fire. Got a whole lot of money that's ready to burn, so get those stakes up higher. There's a thousand pretty women waiting up there.
Hello, this is Scott Wells for the Magic Word Podcast.com, and we are in Houston, Texas, getting ready to wing our way over to Las Vegas. Of course, actually, here in Dunkin' Donuts. Yeah, you can hear the kids screaming in front of us. They can hardly wait for their donuts, too. And I say we because I'm here with Speedy. Yes, I am. Charlie Randall of the R and H&R Magic Books.
Hey, Scott, how's it going?
Fantastic. You looking forward to this?
I am looking forward to this. Magic Live's always great, and I just expect this to be a really good one.
And you're going to be a dealer again this year.
Is
Marshall going to be there?
Marshall will be there.
And
Richard will be there, too. Now, Richard's only going to be there about half the time, and unfortunately, his wife has some eye surgery, so he's going to fly back for one day for that and then come back. So he's going to miss one full day. So.
Wow. Does she have a detached retina or something? Or what?
You know, I don't know the full story. You should probably ask Richard.
Yeah.
My understanding is she had an eye surgery thing a couple years ago, and it's just not worked out right. Yeah, so they're fixing some of that.
As far as the dealers, what, you got any new books or anything that you guys are coming up with?
Well, unfortunately, it's not out here. I wanted it out here, but Tom Frame's got a new book that's really good. Frameworks is what it's called, and it should be out in the next month or two. It'd be before Christmas, yeah, definitely before Christmas.
Who is the illustrator?
Tom took pictures for this.
Oh, okay.
A couple of hundred of these things, so and it's the most I've ever worked with pictures, so there's been some hang-ups there, but it's coming along pretty well.
How long did it take you to publish it?
It always takes many months, because it's not the only project you're working on. I have a day job and all this stuff, so it always takes much longer. And poor Tom, he's like, hey, let's get this out. So it's like, all right, we will.
Well, that's what I wanted the listeners to know whenever they're thinking about, well, I'll put out a book, it shouldn't take too long. Well, no, there's a lot more to it.
Well, if you do it right, and I'm not even saying I do it right, it takes a while. And I've heard a lot of people say, well, let's just, throw this together. Here's a PDF file, let's go. And that's it. It's kind of like when Nick Trost sent me the first the Trost books. He sent it and said, Charlie, it's all camera ready, it's ready to go. And I looked at it, and Nick was a printer, so he knew about this stuff.
He should know.
But in his day, camera ready meant that was cut and pasted and everything on paper.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, Nick, we don't need this anymore. I need you to send me the Word file. So it goes, okay, well, I can send you the text, but the illustrations are that. I drew them by hand. So then I had Tony Dunn redo them. It always takes a while. And
so has Stan told you as far as this evening the dealers are going to be opening? I mean, like they normally do, I guess.
We open, I think it's 7:30. I think that's when it is, that big party thing like usual.
Yeah.
And then I think we're open until like 11:30, and that's the only thing going on. So.
And the party thing, what they always have, of course, is they just have the baseball cards with the cover photos, and you kind of trade cards.
I don't know if that's tonight or not. I think that's another party, if I remember that.
Is it? I thought that was the opening party, but
It may be. And we'll have the raffle ticket things and all if you buy so much. Get these raffle tickets and all. And
right.
So yeah, tonight would just be crazy. So.
Yeah, I had ordered something from Vanishing Ink just this last week, and after I hit send, then I got saw on Facebook where Joshua J. said, see you in Vegas. I thought, darn. Yeah. I could have bought that directly from him. Once I could have saved on postage.
Yeah.
It seems like everybody's going to be coming over here for this. So I know there are going to be a lot of dealers, certainly, as there always are. So my question, as a dealer then, how do you spend time or how do you guys decide who's going to be going to what things? Because there's so many cool things that are going on saying, okay, I'll go to this lecture. You go to the next one or what?
It's always been the problem on this convention because there is so much stuff going on. And a lot of times what we do is we just, if we both want to go, in this case all three of us want to go, we just close down. we've never been in this for the money.
Yeah.
We've always been in for the magic. So we're always that way at conventions. All right. We both want to do this, or we all three want to do this. Let's close down and go.
Well, part of the cool thing, of course, about Magic Live is that it is live. It happens it seems like extemporaneously, but it's like the magazine. In other words, you don't know what's going to be on the next page, and that's why the stand doesn't announce or advertise who's going to be there. So
well, that's what he says.
Okay, so what do you know who's going to be? I mean, by the time
I don't know who's going to be there. Oh, I'm just saying that.
I know Steve Forte is going to be there.
Steve Forte, that's the big one.
And Bill Malone.
Bill Malone, yeah. Steve Forte, Bill Malone, and Ron. That's his last name. They're all going to be doing this talk on gambling type stuff or whatever.
Right.
And we still got like 10 or so of Steve's gambling protection book.
It's been out of print for a long time, and sometimes goes for really high prices.
I've got one of those. How much are they worth? The green one, the green hardback?
The green one, yeah. They sold for $200 originally.
Yeah.
And the cheapest you can ever find them is like $300. So I think that's where we're going to price them here.
Yeah.
But then I've seen them $500, $600 at times.
On eBay?
On
wow.
eBay, you know, yeah. So.
Things go up and down, seems like. You know, it's just like baseball cards. You know, in the heyday, cards were
right.
just going for crazy money, and they had big conventions, and now they just don't.
It just depends if people want
market.
Something and
it's
how
market.
Hard it is to get. Yeah,
exactly. It's just like artwork.
Yep.
And an artist may rise and fall as to the popularity
right.
and everything.
The 40 book is...
And what?
The Steve 40 book. I mean, if you're interested in gambling at all...
That's the ultimate.
That's one of the best.
Yeah. So what are you most looking forward to during this whole thing?
Well,
personally, it's me seeing friends.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Me too. You know, and this is such so big. It's, you know, 1,500 people, 1,200, 1,500, whatever it is. I know last time I got back, and there were a couple guys that I send an email to and said, man, sorry for not responding. I was at Magic Live and just getting back. And they go, I was at Magic Live. I didn't see you. It's like... Just
yeah.
come by the booth. We'll be there.
Yeah, well, that's a nice thing of having a booth. You get to see
yes.
everyone, you know, whereas sometimes there are people I hear about who are there, and I think I'm going in a big circle. They're always on the opposite side of the circle that we're spinning around, you know, so you miss them. Or some people you see and say, hey, let's get together and have lunch or something and never see them again. So it's
well, I've got certain buddies I always get together with.
Yeah.
You know, I've already set up some stuff. John Bannon, one of them. Best buddies in magic, or whatever. So we're going to do at least one meal, hopefully more.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. That'll be fun. Well, I'm looking forward to it. It'll be great. Thank you, Charlie. And we're going to be flying up together. We've got to go through Tulsa, of all places, to get to Las Vegas from Houston. So
just doesn't seem right.
No,
does it
doesn't. But all roads eventually lead to Vegas. And so everybody will be arriving here today. So for the Magic Word Podcast, that was Charlie Randall. This is Scotty out. See you in Vegas, baby.
How I wish that there were more than 24 hours in the day. Even if there were 40 more, I wouldn't...
Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com, and I just got into the Orleans check-in and need to get my my badge, but I'm standing between two towering titans of magic over here and mentalism.
Who are you calling a titan?
They're in the next room, actually.
Oh, good.
But
okay.
I've got Chris Philpott and Steve Valentine. Hey, guys.
Hey, how are you, Scott?
You can tell which is which by their accent.
Yeah.
Chris has got
I'm
an accent.
English one.
Right. So, I'm out and about, the Canadian.
Out and about.
Canadian.
So,
it's awesome here already, dude. It's like everyone who's anyone in magic is here. We just had lunch with some like great guys, Tom Gagnon and Randy Waitman. We saw Marvin Roy, Chad Long. It's been
and that's just
awesome.
Been like the first hour.
That was like the first hour. We just and great magicians from Chicago, underground guys who are just hanging out. That were, it's been
like, I just saw Bill Malone a minute ago.
Bill's over there.
Yeah. And for a minute, I thought that was Herb Zero for a second, but I thought, no, it can't be Herb. Long gone.
I think maybe he's making a comeback.
Yeah, looks kind of like
he's got like 4 feet to go. But that's the old joke. Elvis is making a comeback. He's got 3 feet,
four feet to go. Now, this is like my fourth Magic Live. How about you guys?
Second for me.
Second, yes.
And so what I like about this is you don't know what's going to be happening. So, but is there anything that you're looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to the Slidini stuff. I'm looking forward to getting my talk over and done with so that I can relax.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to... I've heard a rumor that Copperfield's going to be doing something. Mm. So, yeah. I'm looking forward to the whole thing. I think this the camaraderie and it's really quite something.
Chris?
Yeah. I'm looking forward to his talk.
Yeah.
And
thank you.
Which day is that, by the way?
Tomorrow.
Okay. Monday.
Card to Pockets.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That was what Guy Hollingworth talks about. Okay, well, you're like the Guy Hollingworth of America, I guess.
Guy Hollingworth talks about Card to Pocket? Really?
Yeah, he does a good Card to Pocket.
Like 10 cards per pocket or the single card?
Four, single card.
Yeah, so this is the classic 10 card routine that we're talking about, kind of analyzing that sequence.
You know, one that I'd like to hear, I understand that Eugene Berger's got a lecture that talks about the trick that can't be explained. He does a whole lecture talking about Vernon's thing. He said it's something that a lot of people don't know that I give, and I thought, man, I'd love to sit in on that sometime.
Yeah,
that's a great...
Explaining the trick that can't be explained.
Right, so it takes a long time to explain it, obviously.
Yeah. By the end of it, you're like, I don't get it.
I wish you'd explained it better.
Start again?
Yeah, yeah. And you know, another thing then, Chris, I wish I would have thought a little bit earlier. I had ordered your French postcards from Vanishing Ink just before I left, and as I hit send and I was paying $6 for the shipping, then I saw on Facebook Joshua J. said, well, looking forward to seeing you guys there. It's like, damn, gone. I should have picked one up here.
Buy an extra set.
Yeah.
Save yourself some postage.
That's right.
I think French postcards is a terrific effect if anyone out there does out of this world and wants a reason for doing it.
Yeah.
And wants to like have a little titillation with the audience. And
yeah.
Well, I think it's...
I've been doing the White Star and also a Jack the Ripper thing.
That's cool. Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about, Chris?
Yeah.
Both those are very good because I do it in the...
What I like about the French seance. Postcards is it's based on a real study that actually happened that said that when you incorporate sexuality into an ESP test, literally the results spike. Mm-hmm. I mean, they just... There's something connected to the brain. And maybe it's the chemicals
like said,
that we send out. Maybe it's the chemicals. Maybe it's... You know.
And it's like... Bill Cushman said a nice thing. He said it's like you create this little story and then you thrust the audience member into that story, so they reenact with
thrust being the ultimate
thrust.
A little
thrust.
Yeah,
you put them in and out of it.
Double entendre.
And yes.
Anyhow, I'm gonna let you guys go. We got a lot.
Go find your room.
Things. Okay. Yes.
I'm gonna read all the bits and pieces we got as we checked in.
So get my picture taken. I haven't done that yet. Then either.
Oh yeah. They're doing that up here.
That's right. So hold on a second. Wanted to thank you guys very much for coming for the Magic Word Podcast. I'm Steve Valentine, Chris Philpott. This is Scotty L. Okay, Scott Wells for the Magic Word Podcast, and we're about to take our photos. I'm here with R. Paul Wilson. Paul, how are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm excellent. Now, are you one of the presenters also this year?
I might be. I can neither confirm nor deny.
I love when that happens. You know, there was an article or there was a podcast, I think, on This American Life or something, and they talked about that, where that phrase came from.
Uh-huh.
You know, I think back with the CIA or something.
Yeah, I can neither confirm nor deny that for the sake of national integrity.
That's right, yeah. Security. How about your movie? I was going to ask you about, I've not seen that since, was it last year, the year before? I think
Our
you
Magic?
Debuted that. At,
yeah.
With Dan and
Dave's
MagicCon.
It's doing great. Going out to the public. It's on Amazon Prime now. You can buy the DVD, and it's going on the television all over the world. So.
Tell me something about it.
It's a movie about a magician by magicians, and honestly, why do we do what we do? That's what it is.
It talks about
the different elements of magic beyond what most people would expect, rather than how it's done, why it's done.
Is it a lot about you? Is it kind of your journey?
No, I'm just a director.
Okay.
It's more about magic as an art. So it's about magic, not about magicians.
And the name of it is called again?
Our Magic.
Our Magic. And what magicians are in it?
Oh, Tamarice, Max Maven, Mike Caveney.
A few guys you might have heard of. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, really, a lot of 31 that are really great guys. Hi, Katie.
Yeah.
So I need to speak to Katie about this.
Okay.
And rush off to do a...
Yep, that was just a quick talk. Thanks very much.
Take care.
That's Paul Wilson. Scotty out.
Fever, Las Vegas turning day into nighttime, turning night into daytime. If you see it once, you'll never be the same again.
All right, we're still in place getting our photos taken, and I'm here with the evil twins themselves that we've talked about before, Bruce Gold and Dave Cox. Hey, guys.
Hey, hello, Scott Wells.
There, I feel much better when you speak in proper voice. So you guys have been to this one how many times? Bruce, you've been here four?
This is my fourth one, yes, exactly right.
Yeah. This is my fourth.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you figured out how to open the compass yet? There's a secret. I don't know. I couldn't get my hands.
Things will be revealed.
That's what I thought. I
need to get directions to the compass to open it up. I don't know which direction it's in.
Right.
Sort of a catch-22 situation.
So with all the
north by
the past,
northwest,
what are you looking forward to in this one?
Oh, what am I looking forward to? You know what? The best thing about Magic Live is the people.
Yep.
The people that are here.
Yeah.
I've already run into Scott Wells. He's great.
Great guy. I've heard. Heard of him.
Yeah.
But just the best people in the world come to this convention. Nothing against all the people who are not at this convention. Oh, it's awkward. But no, it's just, it's like a party. It's like a party for days. Yeah. It's just amazing.
Bruce, you're going to echo that?
Absolutely. You know, there are close-up mats on the tables in every cafe in the hotel. There's always people gathered any time of the day or night. It's great for insomniacs. There's always people there doing four ace assemblies. So, no, truly though, it's the camaraderie of the people. This is really the convention. Since I live on the West Coast, so many of my friends are here. But people have come from all over the country, all over the world, and this is the place to be in magic.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely so. Been very good. Yeah. All right, well, I'll tell you what, that was it. I just wanted to have a quick chat, so thank you guys very much.
Thank you, Scott.
Dave Cock, Bruce,
we'll see
Bruce
you around, Cox. Buddy.
Okay, for the Magic Word Podcast, Scotty out.
I'm gonna keep on the run, I'm gonna have me some fun. It cost me my very last dime. If I wind up broke, well, I'll always remember that I had a swing in time.
Hello, Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com. I'm here with Steve Bryan. Hey, Steve, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. I've been here 2 days now.
2 days, so you got acclimated to the heat.
I don't go outside.
So you haven't been over to the In-N-Out Burger or anything? That's me.
No,
of course,
no, no.
My thing, I gotta go.
Sounds good.
And so you've all just been hanging out here in the hotel?
Yes, and more people here, you know, 1,600 magicians here now getting ready for the thing to start, and it's starting to get critical mass.
They are. You know, one question I've got, maybe you can help me, is do you know how to open this compass? Is there a secret to this
There's a
compass?
Button.
Okay, okay, this little thing, okay, and I tried pushing that, and that didn't...
Here we go. Oh, it didn't push.
So I, okay, that's what I thought, too. I'm going to need to take that back and say, hey, my compass doesn't open. Okay.
Anyway, pushed and it pulled.
Here's
the hinge.
Yep, that's what I figured.
So
it's not like a secret thing that we'll find out later what it was.
Okay. Maybe you won the $100,000.
That's what it is. So tell me about the Little Egypt Gazette. What's new? You're going to be you're still doing kind of a variation of this every month.
Right, I'm still doing it every month. The most recent one has reviews of the new David Benn book on Erdnase, where he reshuffled Erdnase's stuff to make more sense. And the new...
I read that. You really liked it a lot, apparently.
I liked it a lot. And the new Thomas Blomberg book. Mm-hmm. And then, I urge everyone to look, there's a really good photograph of the new trick called French Postcards.
And you know, based upon that, I went and bought that trick.
Do the trick, but I have postcards.
Yeah, I saw that. But Chris Philpop is here, and I talked with him earlier.
Oh, good.
Yeah, and I said, I just ordered that from Joshua J., and as soon as I hit send, I should have waited and bought it here.
I would like to see more of the routine he supplies is John Armstrong's Out of This Blah, 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 what he titles it. And there's enough information there to do it, but it's my understanding that there's some more touches in the trick that Armstrong came up with, and also that Bruce Bernstein, for $25, has a version that's even stronger of the same basic premise. So
well,
I'd love to acquire those things.
I'm going to talk with Gary Plant, so he can give me some ideas. Hey, Randy right. Wakeman.
Hi, Randy.
How's it going?
Scott,
he just walking up over here. Then, hello, we're talking for the podcast.
So,
you know, we talked about this time last year, I think, at over in Colon. Did you go to the get-together this year?
Not this year,
okay.
No.
I haven't talked to anybody yet. I know some of the guys are here. I just saw a couple of people. I haven't had a chance to chat with them to see how it went. But
you'll make time.
Yeah, so you just got here for this as well, or you've been here for a couple of days? Steve's been here for 2 days already.
I got in Saturday.
Saturday, okay. My burning question to you is...
A burning question?
That's
I
right.
love those.
It can be, yeah, I know, something in medication can probably take care of.
Grab the fire extinguisher just in case. Scott's getting a little hot here.
Simon Lovell, what's the latest on him?
He's doing pretty good. I mean, he still has some issues.
Okay.
He's having a few beers that he shouldn't be having at the Magic Circle, but...
I heard he's getting out of the circle.
Pardon?
I heard that he's getting out to the circle, so he's getting out.
He is, so. I mean, which is great. So he's becoming more sociable, and a lot of people are glad to see him, and he's doing some magic. And I spoke with his father a couple weeks ago. So all in all,
he still lives with his dad? He's still living there at the home with his dad?
No, no, no. He's got his own spot. He's got his own flat. Very, very nice. And... you know, all things considered, he's doing pretty good.
Because I remember when we talked before that you said that he's not going to be improving like in weeks or months. It's going to take like 6 months at a time, and you'll see a little bit of a change or something.
Well, it may take 3 years for that matter, because he's been through a lot, and he's done permanent damage to himself.
Sure.
And none of us are getting any younger, perhaps you. But
that's just
but he's doing, all in all, he's doing pretty good. His father, Tony, is satisfied. I mean, some days are better than others.
Yeah.
But he's generally doing pretty good.
Good, good.
Because if you look at everything in general, no, it's not perfect, but none of us are perfect.
Well, the reason I ask is a lot of people are still listening to my past podcast that I have with Simon, and so people have been wondering, obviously, about how he's doing in an update, so I'm glad you kind of shared a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, he's healthy, he's well cared for.
He's not coming back to the States, though.
No plans for that.
Yeah.
Not in the foreseeable future. I could be wrong.
Do you call him? Do you go over and see him, or what have you?
I've not been over to see him yet. I've chatted with him on the phone a few times, so I keep in touch.
Does he Skype? I should Skype him.
He does not Skype.
I thought not.
And he's been internet resistant.
Still, okay.
Now, he could easily have internet tomorrow if he wanted, but he's not ready to get back into that. So he could certainly be on Facebook or any of the Magic chat rooms, Magic Cafe, et cetera, but he's elected not to do that. But he is doing some Magic. Mm-hmm. Now he's doing some small lectures and more active with magicians over there.
Good.
And a local club as well. So he's getting out. He's still doing a lot of drawing as well. So he's doing some creative things.
Good.
So, not perfect, but all in all, respectably well.
Good. Are you working on any book or anything coming up soon, or any lecture notes or anything?
New set of lecture notes, yeah. I've got a couple things that should be out by the end of the year. I don't like to talk about things until they're
actually out.
Yeah.
I was about to say, Steve, you were talking about some of the books that you've mentioned over there on the Little Egypt Gazette. One of the books is coming up. I just talked to Charlie Randall. Was called Frameworks by Tom Frame.
Oh, okay. That sounds good.
He was hoping to have it out by here, but he's not going to have it until probably about Christmas.
Too bad.
But I'm sure we'll probably see that on your site then, too.
I hope so.
Well, and so have you got some seance stuff lined up for this October already?
No, I'm mainly pushing my novels. Lucas McKenzie and the London Midnight Ghost Show is about as seancey as I'm getting right now.
Yeah, and that's kind of like for children or teens, isn't it?
It's the lower end is middle grade, but it's for anyone.
You familiar with this that he writes?
Older. Yeah. I read a monthly column called Little Egypt Magic. It's mostly a review blog these days. When it first started, it was a 40-page magazine. That was insane.
Mm-hmm.
Totally insane. And now it's a monthly column, basically just reviews. But I've gotten into writing novels and aiming at middle grade, but anybody older. Magicians especially should find hidden Easter eggs in there.
And how many of those have you written?
Only one's been published, and the second is in production.
Oh, okay. Good. Listen, thank you guys very much.
First time I've ever seen you, Scott, without a martini, so I don't know.
Not Thursday.
Well, but it is in the afternoon.
That's a good point. You might see me here shortly.
For breakfast anymore.
I like your thinking, Randy. We might go join you for one. Over to the Magic Word Podcast. Randy Wakeman, Steve Ryan, Scotty out.
I'm going to keep on the run. I'm going to have me some fun. It cost me my very last dime. If I wind up broke, well, I'll always remember that I had a swing in time.
Scott Welch for the MagicWordPodcast.com. As we kind of are walking around, things have not started officially yet, but everyone is showing up. So we have Kyle Knight and Misty. Hello, guys.
Hello,
hi,
hello.
And so did you just arrive today as well?
Or we flew in. We're on Disney Cruise Line every other week all summer in Alaska.
Every other week.
Yeah.
So the other week, what do you do?
Back in Vegas.
We've had shows here.
Really?
And, yeah, it's been pretty busy for us.
Okay.
A lot of variety shows mostly. But we flew in Friday, and we went to an amazing party last night at Amazing Jonathan and Anastasia's house and got to see a lot of friends. And, and here we are today.
I saw some pictures on Facebook.
That's everybody's pictures today.
We all played water volleyball and had paint on our faces. And it was.
But you weren't in swimsuits.
Oh, yeah, we were in swimsuits.
Okay. We say we're quite a mess then. Okay.
It washes off.
Yeah. And so you say you come back over here then the weeks that you're not with on Disney. And so are you working like at the casinos then?
Or yeah, there's a few variety shows we've been appearing in regularly. Most of Sam's Town and Suncoast. And we also did a corporate show just a couple weeks ago at Planet Hollywood. But in October, after our whole show comes off of Disney, we're going to be performing our full show here. 70-minute illusion show in October here.
Okay.
And then we go
open to the public and free.
Yeah. So if you're in Vegas, come see us.
And that's going to be where?
Samstown, October 18th.
Samstown, October 18th. Remember that? Write that on your book. Also, as far as your illusions, I was going to say, whenever you're like out on the cruises, do you leave your stuff on board some stuff here in Vegas so you have two different shows?
We do have duplicates.
We do have duplicates of a lot of things. And we have so much, everything little that we have, you know, little or, you know, in one type routines, we have doubles of all that stuff. And some of the illusions we have doubles of as well, so...
Yeah.
Hey.
Hey, Gregory.
Hey, Gregory.
Gregory Wilson, kind of bullying, and he's on a phone call, so he can't talk right now. Say hello, though.
I'm a guy. I can't multitask.
Wait, hold on. Okay,
you're listening
to a message.
Who are you people? What's going on?
Right, we're doing a podcast.
A podcast. What a good-looking couple, you freaks.
Aren't they, though?
Hey, this is weird. This is weird not seeing these guys sweat.
I was waiting to sweat.
Like when you were on
Wizard Wars.
Yes. Oh, my God. That was the most stressful time of our career.
Pretty much. I can't imagine anything more difficult.
More so than Penn & Teller?
Oh, my gosh.
Considerably more.
Yeah.
Because you have to create magic. You have a very limited time frame. And not only do you have to create it, you have to create two different routines with these restrictions of the items you have to use. And so you have the same stress of performing for TV, but all of these other restraints, too. And with TV, there's other limitations that you wouldn't have in a regular theater because you're dealing with, you know, producers and what's available.
It was a constant battle the entire time, but we won the grand prize. We were the only
$5,000.
$10,000.
Oh, okay.
We actually fooled Penn & Teller on that show.
Okay.
With the egg.
The egg trick.
The egg trick. After we were getting de-miked, Teller came up and said, "Can you give his best guess?" And he was dead wrong. So we were very fooled him with an egg.
Yeah.
So you couldn't do the same trick again on their show.
On their show again.
We'll see. We filmed Fool Us just a couple weeks ago or a couple months ago.
Right.
We were still performing on Disney Cruise Line, but we had our second set of equipment back home. The producers contacted us and asked us if we could do an illusion specifically because there's so much close-up magic. And so even though, you know, nobody really anticipates fooling them with an illusion, it was obviously a great production to be a part of, and we had the extra stuff at home, so we did it.
Why did you choose the ring?
Because it hasn't been seen on TV,
I guess that's true.
It hadn't been done a lot. We didn't have very much stuff still at home.
We only had a handful of things there. And we wanted something that would showcase how we're interactive and let the audience
with your
get
personalities
involved.
And everything, sure.
So, yeah.
But we're getting
hugs right now. Hey. Good to see you.
But on Disney, though, we are doing like 2.5 hours of material. So most of our show is there on
Three separate shows?
Yeah.
We're doing four separate shows.
We have the full show in the Walt Disney Theater with all the illusions, a nightclub show for just the adults, and a cabaret room.
Hey. You guys are great.
Thank you.
Hey, Cosmo.
Hey, buddy.
You say hi?
Good to see you.
How are you, man?
I'm awesome. I let you know. I reached out to you guys, right?
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah, we're recording.
Say hi.
It's
right. You guys were awesome.
Wow.
And they won $10,000 also.
The last time we saw you, we were working at the castle together.
That's
right. Yeah. When you guys are you guys going back?
We tried to book a date with it, and it just is conflicting
your schedule.
We had
such a narrow time frame. But next year, we're going to try to keep ourselves more available for more stuff like that.
Well, I think we should go at the same time.
Reunion at the castle.
That's right.
It's always fun to work the castle.
Yeah, that was fun.
Well, like Jack always says, welcome home. I love that, you know.
Jack says it like, welcome
we're
home.
We're going.
Yeah.
The stars have aligned.
That's very good.
That was a good impression.
That's my Jack impression.
Well, maybe after we get back from China, because we're going over to perform at Franz Ferrari's new House of Magic.
Oh, yeah,
Macau. We're going to be there from
Bruce
October.
Bruce Gold's involved with that, too.
We worked with Bruce Gold on Royal Caribbean for many years, so that's how we got to know Bruce and, you know, helped us get an in with that. So.
Yeah, he's seen us work, so it'll be a fun gig.
I wonder why that the Wizard Wars is over.
Nice to see you guys.
Okay, Cos, see you later.
Wizard Wars is over because what network was it? Sci-Fi?
Sci-Fi was out of the reality TV business.
Yes, they say they want to get out of the reality TV business.
And go back to their roots?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Why don't they go back and spell it properly, you know?
Yeah.
Instead of Siffy.
The ratings were there, though.
The ratings were there.
That's what I heard.
Really great ratings.
I've been wanting to talk to Rick Lax. I'm sure he's here.
Yeah, he'll be around.
Yeah.
It's a little touchy subject for him.
That was his baby.
He's a good friend of ours as well, and it was a baby, and he did a great job with it, and I hope it gets picked up by some other network at some point.
I talked with him before the thing actually came out, and he said, yeah, let's do a podcast. We were going to chat about this, and then he said, wait a minute, Sci-Fi doesn't want me talking about it until actually they get the green light.
That's the lawyer side of it.
And then a little bit later, said, okay, well, we got that, and then one thing or another, we never got together, so now he's probably upset because the thing was canceled over there.
But look for him. He'll be around. But it was a good show. I'm really glad we did it.
How long are you going to be working over there? A couple
Three
weeks?
And a half months.
Months. Okay.
Yes. We're going to be over there all of November, December, January, and then we come back early February.
Are you hauling your own stuff over there? Or are you going to have some stuff built while there? Because it's fairly inexpensive, I would think.
Well, we're going to be performing some of our own stuff. No, it's not going to be Big Illusions, though, because we're in a cabaret room.
It seats about 150 mm-hmm. people in the room that we're in.
Yeah.
I think we're opposite of Louis. There's three
Louis
rooms.
Mottos
it's kind of like the castle, actually. It's a really cool experience. Franz has this mega illusion show in one of the rooms, and then there's two other rooms, and you kind of cycle through all the rooms and get the full experience.
Yeah.
And
it's still being built right now, though. It's not even finished yet.
He was talking about this at FISM, and we're trying to promote this and tell everybody to come out.
Yeah, it's very cool. It sounds like a very cool thing. We're excited to be part of the project.
Yeah.
So
he said apparently that over there they spend seven times as much in gambling as they do in all of Las Vegas. You know,
yes, it's number one in the world as far as gambling goes.
Yeah.
So,
so they're trying to have more of an outreach to the people, the families of the gamblers, you know? And that's why this whole new casino
is
dedicated.
It's like $48 million or something.
Ridiculously.
Yeah. And you've seen it already.
Well, we've seen pictures of it. Okay.
It's a $3.8 billion casino.
Wow.
So I've never even, you know, I can't even imagine.
It's hard to imagine.
It'll be fun.
I'm going to look forward to seeing your pictures on Facebook.
Yeah.
And that starts when?
When does that start?
We leave the end of October and should be performing the beginning of November.
We've got so much
kind of
stuff
short,
on the books right now.
Time it's, for rehearsal.
Yeah.
Well, I think we have a couple weeks there. There's another cast that's there before us, though, that are opening.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of big names. And
I think Louis D'Amato's, Caitlin and Ginger are part of it.
And Josh Rock's coming
Rudy
over.
Rudy Kobe is there, yeah. So it's a lot of good names to be involved with. So.
Yeah. Let's roll the money.
Happy to be a part of it.
Yep, mm-hmm. Follow it up. Thank you guys very much. Let me ask you, I think I did probably last time, a couple years ago. What is your magic word? What is your philosophy of life?
Philosophy of life.
Yeah,
wow.
What's something, you know, get encapsulated? Not necessarily a word, a sentence, or, you know,
I think
a phrase.
You got to keep it fun. You got to keep it fun and just enjoy what you're doing.
That was kind of what, you know, when it comes to the show and when it comes to just daily life, I don't know. I don't want to waste any moment. I want to have fun with everything that we do and take advantage of everything that we have and just live it up, you know?
Yeah.
And that's kind of what we wanted our persona to be to in the TV shows and on stage, just not take ourselves too seriously and just have fun with what we're doing.
And let the audience see that in you
also.
Yeah,
I hope that comes through,
Very cool. Thank you guys very much. That was Kyle Knight and Misty. Thank you very much for being on the podcast. This is Scotty out.
How I wish that there were more than 24 hours in the day. Even if there were 40 more, I wouldn't sleep.
Hello, this is Scott Wells for TheMagicWordPodcast.com. Just finished dinner, and before long, the festivities will begin. But I'm here with Jeff and Tessa Evison, two of the best two-person minoring act you guys will ever see in the world ever. Hello, guys. How are you doing?
Hello, Scott.
Hi, Scott. Good to be here with you.
And it's good to have you guys here. I saw you at a distance. I didn't interrupt because I saw Ian Roland just went by, and I said, hey, Ian, and you guys got his attention before I did. And then he was over there. It's like all of a sudden it was all about, you know, you three guys talking, so I didn't want to interrupt.
Oh, yeah. We have a great relationship with Ian.
He's a great guy, isn't he?
Fun,
and his new book just came out, I think, as an e-book. All I say is his old book came out like as an e-book or something. So tell me, you know, I was just at FISM, as you know, and I didn't get a chance to talk with Tommy Tin. Tommy, is that about not pronouncing his name right? Am I? Is it Tommy?
We met Tommy for the first time yesterday in line to get our badges.
Is he here?
Yeah.
Oh, but, okay.
What's his partner's name? Emily.
Emily.
No, he's not here.
I hope we're saying it right.
So we don't know anything about them. We followed them at the Magic Castle last month. We were.
Oh, really? That's got to be kind of weird.
They had three two-person acts in 1 month. How about that?
Who was the other?
The Bornsteins.
Kimberly,
another couple of friends who we are new in our lives and wonderful people.
Yeah.
It's all the second sight act getting together, right? Making relationships. And
we don't speak.
That's right. You just kind of sit and look at each other.
Right.
You know what I'm thinking.
Absolutely.
I thought Tommy's idea of having Emily in this swing that was completely elevated, and so that way that if you were further back in the auditorium as we were, you didn't have to watch a monitor. You could actually look at the stage and you could see her because there weren't people in front of you, that she was 20 feet in the air, you know, on this.
Well, we haven't seen the act, so we can't. We have really no opinion or comment.
You're
about
just
it.
Hearing.
We don't know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, they were the first mentalism act to have gotten first place at FISM in over a decade, I think. from what I think Max was saying.
Good for them. Fantastic.
Excellent.
So, you know, you guys have never competed at FISM.
No, we've performed at FISM. We were booked at Sweden.
We were there.
Were you there?
Yeah.
So we did one of the, what do they call it, gala nights? It's our only FISM we've ever been to.
Yes, I remember that.
And so it was a wonderful time. But no, the only competition we've ever done is here in Las Vegas at the World Magic Seminar. And it was Tessa's idea. We were applying for green cards.
Okay.
And our attorney, who happened to be in Las Vegas, said, you really need some awards. Well, we'd never done a magic competition.
Okay.
This wasn't our world. So we entered World Magic Seminar and did the Siegfried and Roy Award, and then Siegfried and Roy helped us get our green cards.
I forgot you did get the Siegfried and Roy back when.
Yeah,
that must have been,
right.
How many years ago was that?
'90s?
In the 90s?
Well, all the years are rolling together, but it was in the late 90s.
I was going to say, you must have been like adolescent. You were like 9 or 10 years old because you only look like 19
now. Well, thank
you,
but no. I'm getting up there.
And so are you working a lot of college circuits and everything, or what are you
doing? College and corporate. We just got back from Singapore 2-3 days ago, so this week has been Singapore and here. So that was a big corporate event.
Speaking of which, I was just talking with Kyle Knight and Misty, and they're going to be going to Macau. Have you guys thought about going over?
Oh, well, you can't speak any English from what I understand. It's got
to
be silent. They're great people, aren't they?
Yeah,
one of our favorite couples in magic.
Yes. We just saw them and had a chat, and they told us they were going. So they'll do a great job.
They will. You know, I hadn't thought about that, but yeah, everybody's going to be going over because Bruce Gold's going to be is booking the acts when we were over FISM. I was talking with Bruce about
that. And what's Bruce's phone number? Can we put that over?
He needs to get lots of calls.
You know, he has, of course. As Kyle was telling me, certainly everybody's going to be going over there and working with Franz Ferrari are all big illusionists who are doing non-speaking acts. You know, basically music. I hadn't thought about that, but that's very true. You know, John Schrock and some of these other guys who are performing. So
they're very excited.
Yours is very much, both of you are talking at the same time. And so,
a whole lot.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. So, yeah, that would be a little bit different, particularly. Well, never mind. Although there's a lot of money there, I understand.
This is what I just heard today.
Yes.
So
some really
you may
money.
Learn to have to learn how to speak Chinese.
But you know, we really prefer the one-nighters, and they work close to home at this point.
Yep.
We've spent the last 25 years traveling. And now our favorite is to be one-nighters. A week on the road is wonderful, but it's always good to get home.
You ever travel with Murray Hatfield and his tour?
You know, we never did that show. That's a family audience. We've been to many of Murray's shows. We used to live in Canada for many years.
Right.
And Murray would come through, and if we weren't working, it was one of the good shows to see. It was a brilliant show.
And he had a good variety, too, I think, of talent. It wasn't just him. There were other people, magicians.
He booked a lot of acts.
Yeah.
We talked a few times about it. I think for family audiences, because a lot of children in that show.
Yeah.
Half the theater was children and even more. So I think maybe not the best audience for us.
No, I didn't know that was I knew it was family. I didn't know that many kids. So.
Yeah, you know, a couple of parents might take the neighborhood kids as well. So it was, but he packed them in. And it still does, I think.
Yeah. Well, see, that's why I think that a college circuit would do very well for you guys, because that's kind of like your age and up, I would think.
We've been doing it for many years, and
our age.
No, their age. I mean, college age. Age kids and up, you know.
Because we're old enough to be grandparents.
Yeah, that's right. I'm sure.
College age and up, you know.
Yeah.
They might think
we're
their parents or somebody's parents coming to do the show. But, you know, it's college has been great for us. And actually, the Magic Castle was a wonderful experience. We hadn't done it for many years. Just being in the same place for the whole week and wonderful audiences.
It isn't Jack Goldfinger, just wonderful. I mean, he always.
Oh, my God.
He says, welcome home. You know, when he makes you feel like, you know, you're just here. It's just a great place.
Just tune us back into, we really want to get focused, as Jeff was saying, in performing somewhere that we get to our own beds, or certainly in a local theater or venue, you know, that we can certainly do our show how many times a night.
Hey, Ken. No, Ken. Let me say hello.
It's Ken Weber, ladies and gentlemen.
There are other
PA
members.
I got to say,
Ken Weber and Gil Eagles.
Gil, I got to say happy birthday. Gil. Hey, happy birthday. To you.
Thank you.
Today's the day, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, well, good.
Yes, happy birthday to Gil Eagles.
Oh, please.
He doesn't want this at all, but you don't have a choice in the matter.
Hi, Scott.
Friend.
How are you?
Fine, Ken.
Good to see you.
It's Ken Weber over there, by the way, so we're just recording a podcast.
Oh,
that's okay.
Yeah, no. Give some financial advice, Ken. What should people be doing?
Sell.
Wait a minute. What's today? Bye. It's Sunday. What are you talking about?
That's right.
All right. Don't buy or sell.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. Guys, yes, on up the stairway.
I'm not official. Okay.
Yeah, we'll see you guys soon. So let me ask you, as you know, I always like to find out what the magic word is that people use. So what is your magic word? What is your philosophy of life? What is important? It could be a word, a phrase.
It's Tessa.
I can understand. Good. No one has ever said that about their...
Well, I hope they haven't. Really.
We got a problem.
I'm going to remember that. What's your name? Tessa.
Jeez.
That's all you got to remember.
Yeah. Well, that's on the spot, because mine is just pretty boring and average, and it's just love. It's all I'm about is love. Yeah. It works in all situations.
Which is what Tessa means, I think, in Hebrew,
or
I guess.
Something, yeah. We can make it up.
Pretty much.
Okay. Thank you guys very much.
Thank you, Scott. Good to see you.
Glad you like the podcast, too, by the
loving,
way.
Loving.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, good. It's over the Magic Word Podcast. I was Jeff and Tess Evison. This is Scotty out. Scott Wells from the Magic Word Podcast.com, and the convention has begun. It's after 7:30, so we are now in a very busy place, running into a lot of people, like Shep Hyken. Hey there, Shep.
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Fantastic.
Hey, how are you, buddy? Good to see you.
And Justin Willman also. Hey there, Justin.
Shep Hyken and Justin Willman shaking hands. Real moment of magic camaraderie.
Boy, I think.
Yes.
Spady Road.
Spady Road.
And Sean Pop over there.
Hello, that's me.
Sean Pop. All the way from Denver, Colorado.
Right. The guy responsible for one of the best sound cues, the best thing you've ever had.
Show cues. Get it now.
So tell me, what's the latest project, Justin, that you're working on right now that is public?
Ooh. Well, latest project is not magic, but magical. I'm getting married in a month.
Congratulations. That's
and
fantastic.
Cool
house that I saw?
Yes.
Beautiful.
Oh, you saw that piece. Thank you.
I saw it.
Thanks,
beautiful.
Man.
Where is it?
I live in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
We're getting married in Los Angeles. And any magician knows, I think, that when you're a magician, you're getting married, people, you have a lot of pressure for it to be like some amazing spectacle. My friends are like, can't wait to see what you're going to do at your wedding. I was like, I'm just going to get married. And now I feel like I have to do something.
Now, what did you
really
do as
great.
Far as popping the question? Was there something magical that you could recommend other magicians should
long
do?
Long hike in Italy, and I got on one knee. I think she would, if I would have started
wait,
to do something.
You went to Italy and got on one knee.
Yeah.
Okay, you could have done that here.
I could have done that here in Vegas at the Venetian or something like that.
Yeah.
But I think if I started to go into shtick mode, she would have gone on high alert and known that I was about to do some magic trick proposal. So I kept it classy.
Yeah,
kept it straight.
Now, how long have you known her? Where'd you meet her?
We've been together about 3 years. She's a photographer. She was photographing a show I was doing once, and that's how we met.
Really? So you just kind of met up?
So just keep an eye on who's what. You never know who's at every show. You never know who you're going to meet.
Fantastic. Was she from L.A. also?
She's from Chicago.
Really? What about
great magic town? Evanston.
Okay. I mean, I'm from Illinois myself. I got a lot of fraternity brothers from Chicago.
Yeah.
I get up there a lot, so I'm familiar with
Evanston. A good Midwestern girl.
Yeah, that's great. So she got a good accent. She doesn't have like a Southern accent or a...
She's got a good Midwestern straight accent.
You know, that it seems like that most people who are in the media, like television announcers, radio announcers, have Midwestern accents because they can't really be detected.
That way they can be a chameleon. They can go in any market.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly.
Well, I'm from St. Louis, and I studied broadcast journalism. Yeah.
That's why I went to SIU, not Edwardsville.
Oh.
I went to Carbondale.
No way.
And journalism was my major in school of advertising.
Yeah.
With a minor in radio and television. So I had a little bit of that kind of background as well. My idea was I wanted to write, direct, and produce TV commercials. I wanted to be a master of the media.
Right.
I moved to Denver, you know, worked for a while in advertising, and I enjoyed it, but that wasn't the career that I found, you know, so.
It's funny. Well, we all end up where we're supposed to go.
Eventually.
But it's funny, these people who take classes to get rid of their accents, and luckily from the Midwest, we don't have them to begin with. So it's
nice. So that's a good point. People say, well, I could detect a little Southern accent. I've been in Texas for about 20 years now, so I think I probably got a few things that I have a little bit of a drawl on or something like that. So you're getting married, so that's not a magical project necessarily. So what about magic-wise? What are you doing?
Oh, magic-wise. Well, I'm always touring, doing comedy club tours now these days. And
you got to come down to Houston sometime.
I should come down.
The Improv or someplace down there.
I've been to Dallas and Austin, but I should, I'll come through Houston. So, but always touring. So, working on new shtick.
Doing some new TV things.
Some new TV things. Pitching some new shows.
What was that like with Rachel Ray? Is she really pretty as cool as what she seems on TV?
She's pretty intense. She's the same on and off camera. She's fantastic. Yeah.
I mean, she seems like a very business-oriented type of a lady. You know?
Yeah. No, she built a great brand. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah. I've got several of her cookbooks. I mean, before I got into magic, actually, cooking was my thing. I mean, when I was working for a newspaper in Denver, I was a gourmet food editor for a newspaper for a while, so I really got into cooking. And I don't know, we're not talking about me. We're talking about
you. It's amazing the careers that will come out of food. But
yeah.
But let's, we should party it up.
Yep. Okay, very good.
I'm pretty excited.
Excited about the convention?
You're very excited about the convention.
Anything that you can talk about that you may be doing here?
I may be doing a thing here.
But we can't
I don't know how secretive people are supposed to be, but there will be a thing.
Okay, good enough.
There will be a thing by the end. Hopefully, you're like, I know what the thing is.
Okay.
So stay tuned.
Because this will be broadcast tomorrow.
People will. Fantastic.
That's right. This will be up and on there.
Awesome.
Very good. Let me ask you your magic word. Do you remember what that happens if I ask you at the Magi Fest? Like, what's important in your life? Now that you're going to be getting married, you may have something else that's new and important.
I'm going to say my magic word is love.
You're the second person. Tessa Evison just said that, too.
And
that's
I love
a wonderful
Tessa.
Word. I do, too. Don't
so
we
all? Comes down.
Thank you very much. It was Justin Wilman for the Magic Word Podcast. It's Scotty out.
Las Vegas turning day into nighttime, turning night into daytime. If you see it once, you'll never be the same again.
What do you want me to say?
Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com. I've just stepped into the dealer's room, and I'm over at Kaufman & Company talking with Dustin Stennett. Hey, Dustin.
Hi, Scott.
You doing all right?
I'm doing as well as could be expected for an old guy.
I'd like to hear you say that. Well, I see you've shaved about as frequently as I do. It looks like we both could use a little razor.
I hate shaving.
Do you really? Do you use an electric shaver or do you use a
blade?
A blade. Do you shave in the shower or do you shave before?
In the shower. Wait, this is magic talk here? Okay. Yeah, what else do you want to know?
I wonder, do you start on the right side or the left side?
Right in the middle.
Do you? You know, and I ask that because of habits. That people have habits, magicians, and we all have different things that we always do the same way. If you did something a little bit different, it would be a different way of looking at things. It's like with magic. Sometimes you think you're doing the same move over and over, but if you actually turn your hand a little bit differently, then you might find a new method. The same thing with habits that you're having every day. Whenever that, if you're shaving in the shower versus shaving with some foam, or you start on the left side, start the right. I always start with my sideburns and go down. But if I ever go to the other side, it actually makes me stop and think, I'm doing something different here today. What else can I do different?
Okay, yeah, but I don't want
to orange tonight.
No. I don't want to slice my face off experimenting with a razor.
Well, I experimented with my left hand once, and that didn't work at all.
I hear you're the keeper of the cards.
How many do I owe you, Stephen?
I'm 25.
Now I have to do math.
Yes.
Can we do math?
See, Dustin is also handing out cards. So,
as rounding up?
As people will buy things, then you're getting. How many did you get, by the way? Then so
I got three cards
because you spent how much?
Because I spent $60.
So for every $20, you get like a card.
One entry in a drawing per $20 spent.
Hold that card. I'm going to take a picture of that card so that way the people know what the cards look like that they were missing had they been here at Magic Live. Hold it up in front of your face that way you can kind of it's all about promotion, So. Okay. That looks good.
Okay,
except I think you had the card over backwards. Or in,
I had my finger over it. Now, you write your name on the other side.
Well, I think I had the thing right. That,
just do the card. Just do the card.
Okay.
I guess the plain back.
I'll do the card. And so, Dustin, why don't you just hold the microphone and you talk while I'm taking a picture.
I'm going to talk among myself. Scott is taking a photograph. It's play-by-play. It's exciting. He's taking a photograph of a Grand Bazaar card. I want to call it the Grand Bizarre, but Stan wasn't listening to me again.
The customer didn't even drop any.
Unbelievable. I can't believe how many people are here. And by the way, still registrations available for the Genie Convention. That will be fantastic as well.
Who's going to be at the convention?
I don't know.
Anybody? What kind of names have you got?
What kind of names have I got? We got Danny D'Ortiz. We've got Raymond Crow. We got Jim Steinmeier, Max Maven, Rob Zabrecki, John Archer. We've got Aussie Wind, Derek Hughes, Alana, who's going to be doing her amazing hand act. Johnny Gahn's going to be there with Antonio Diavolo, the amazing little acrobat.
Yeah, the Johnny Gahn's.
John Gahn's. Yep, absolutely. A bunch of other people. It's going to be fantastic.
And that's the weekend of?
It is the weekend of starts September 30th, goes to October 3rd in Orlando, Florida.
And if people want to register, they go to?
They go to genieconvention.com.
There you go. So right now, that everybody, with every $20, you get one of these cards.
Yes.
So that way they go over and every half hour or so, they're calling names.
Yeah, they're having 9 or 10 drawings or something. And
what
they're
are they giving away?
A bunch of stuff.
Different things. Okay. They didn't tell us that.
Have you heard how many dealers are actually here?
I have not, but there's a bunch. It's a big room.
Is it all just in this room, or is it going to be spread out?
No, this is it. But it's a huge room. It is full to the gills. A lot of great dealers. A lot of great stuff.
Well, you guys got some good stuff. That you're
deep discounts to the people that are listening. Richard Kaufman, he's a product of public education. Because in his world, 50% of $42 is $15. Now, I told him, Richard, that's not right. He goes, shut up. So there are very deep discounts. Collected Almanac, only $25. That's what you get.
Stacking them deep and selling them cheap.
Stack them high and watch them fly, baby. That's how it goes.
I like it.
And so, will we have the same prices at the Genie convention? Come and find out.
Let me ask you about the forum. The forum has been Genie Forum has been going on for how many years?
I haven't got a clue.
You
a lot of years.
About 3 years, 5 years?
We're
closer to five.
Closer to 10.
Is that right?
Oh yeah.
I guess I've been a member for maybe 5 years or something.
Yeah, it goes back to the 90s. You bet.
Wow, the 90s.
Late 90s.
10. Okay.
Well, when he bought Genie Magazine, he started the forum.
He started the forum?
Yeah.
Oh, I
shortly
didn't know
after.
That. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
So maybe the early 2000s, but 1999, I think, might be. Yeah.
And your association with him is what exactly?
We were actually trying to figure that out the other day. Because it was actually a post that I made on the Genie Forum. It was about the Los Angeles Conference on History, Magic History.
Love to see
and it was my first one. It was number 7. So whatever year that was, that November, I wrote a review of it from a first-timer's point of view. Richard liked it so much, he asked if he could print it in Genie. And that started me working for Richard. I became a reviewer. My first feature was November 2004. And that was the issue about The Magician, Bill Bixby's television program.
Yeah, right.
Yep, Bill Bixby on the cover. And then it's just gone from there. I've done 20-something cover stories. I couldn't even tell you how many interior stories, plus all the DVD reviews that I do on every odd month. I get the odd months, which is perfect for me since I am, after all, odd.
And then also, as far as the forum goes, are you the...
I'm still... Richard and I are the only moderators on that.
Moderator,
thing.
I was going to say.
But, I'm not the dark fascist overlord that everyone thinks I am. I try to... try to keep it...
To drawing number three.
It's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you, as we start to wrap up the day of my podcast called The Magic Word, what is your philosophy of life? What is your phrase? What's your word?
One word?
No, it could be a sentence.
Word?
I mean, it could be
a sentence?
Yeah, it could be a whole paragraph. What is it's important when you wake
drive
up?
Drive fast, die young? I don't know. What? I
haven't heard that's good.
That's not it. Let's see. Boy, I've never...
You're going to sum
Scott,
up your life.
I've never been...
Never asked that question?
Never been asked that question.
Yeah, if you're going to be a tree, what would you be? No, is that kind of...
No.
No, what's important? You wake up in the morning, it's like, today I'm going to do this because I believe in this.
Oh, no. What's important to me is my family.
That's what I want to know. Family's the word.
Family is... that's it. Number one.
Yeah.
It's all about my wife, 2 kids, my brother, my mother-in-law, everyone. You know. And even Doug Thornton. I love Doug Thornton. I consider him family. So...
you have your priorities.
Yeah, that's right.
He must owe you money. You owe him money. You owe him money, I think. Okay. Thanks a lot.
I owe him thanks.
So thank the Magic Word Podcast.
That was thank you very much. That was fun.
Scotty out.
I'm going to keep on the run. I'm going to have me some fun. It cost me my very last dime. If I wind up broke, well, I'll always remember that I had a swing in time.
Scott Wells with MagicWordPodcast.com, and of course we're still in the dealer's room, and we're running into friends all the time, and here's of course in Las Vegas where you run into the top magicians in the world, and of course I run into my favorite magician, Ray Anderson. Hey Ray.
Hey.
You know I am. I tell you
I appreciate
all the time,
that.
And I tell people all the time, people don't, you're way underestimated from what you
I appreciate that.
God among magicians.
I'm
you should
now
be.
Officially a cult figure in the magic world. So
we're talking about the TAOM.
Yes.
That we're going to be having one evening in which we're going to be going to the TAOM, and you're saying that for those who want to come to Austin, it's not too late to sign up and come to the convention, of course.
That's right.
And you're going to be having two special shows?
That's right. We're doing two seatings at our theater, Esther's Follies, down on 6th Street. And we're going to add a little extra magic to the program. But, of course, we'll keep all the fun Esther's things. Patsy Cline will be there.
Yeah.
And all the regular things from the show as well. So.
Now, because there are going to be two shows, will they be a little bit shorter than usual in order to get both seatings in? Or?
Yes, they will, actually. They're going to be straight runs instead of having intermission like we normally do in our regular show. But they'll still be pretty jam-packed with stuff. We'll probably add like two illusions to the show, but they'll run like an hour 10, something like that.
When they say new two illusions, those are things that you have done in the past, you're pulling back.
That's right, yeah, we'll just be adding a few things to the lineup. I normally do roughly seven different parts of the show or magic, but there will be more, probably about nine. But we don't want to lose the flavor of Esther's as well. That's part of what our success has been, is combining the magic also with the political humor and the rest of it.
The political humor and everything that is very topical. Of course, with Austin being the capital of Texas and where all the politics happens, there's something new that's happening every week, and you guys sit down and go through all the the new stuff and then try to put that to music and do a satire week different.
Well, and of course now it's an election, getting to be an election year for the presidency, and Trump just keeps giving us more and more fodder.
Oh my God.
So instead of doing Jesus Christ Superstar, we're doing GOP Superstar.
Okay.
Wow. And I don't know if we'll be doing that for 2M or not, but we'll see.
Have you got somebody who's got the wavy hair?
We do, and I actually came up with an idea where Trump's hair actually talks itself like a puppet. So we decided to make his hair his running mate. And so, and in fact, I was going to try to find Axtell around here and see if they couldn't make a better version of it for us than what we came up with, so we don't have to stick anybody's hand in there to do the job.
Yeah, but, I bet they could.
Nothing like a big comb-over talking to you from the stage. So,
well, you got to wonder about how long that's going to be topical, as far as if you spend that kind of money and have something made. And then,
well, that's true.
And then he falls out of the race 6 months.
Well,
I mean, he's on top of the heap now.
But. Right, but even after, say, if he gets out or something, they'll know who he is, and he'll be grousing about it if he's losing too.
Well, you know, that's right. He's going to stay in the spotlight one way or the other.
Right. Well, and he might even run as an independent. Who knows? We can only hope. He's the biggest gift to comedy since George W. Bush, I think, for us. So. But of course, we're equal opportunities. So we also have Hillary in the show, and she's a rapping Hillary. So
funny.
So it's pretty fun. And you know us, we lampoon just about everybody.
Yes. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, that sounds like fun. Well, I know you're looking forward to the convention.
I am.
And this is not something where you're actually performing or doing anything.
But I do have several friends that are performing, I'm going to come and cheer those on. But we're not supposed to tell anybody, I think, yet.
Yeah,
so
it's still off a surprise.
That's a secret, right?
Yeah, people I've talked with, it's kind of like, I don't think I can tell you.
Well, I think if you really wanted to know, you could just go out in the parking lot and look at the different vehicles that are out there with the names on them, and you can probably figure it out.
Yeah. Just wonder what day that person's going to be on.
That's true, right. But I think it's going to be a great convention. I've already seen so many great friends here. It's so wonderful, and it's so great that they have it on a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, so that the working pros that normally are doing shows on the weekends,
I thought about that. Good point.
This is the only convention I go to. It used to be, World Magic Seminar, because they did Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
That's right, in Vegas here.
But, and it was also a place where, I can see all my other professional friends that are maybe working, different venues like me. We can come together and enjoy each other's company for a few days and then still get back for shows by Thursday.
Yeah.
So you're not missing anything.
Yeah.
And I think the only convention that does that, that's on a Sunday, maybe Tuesday, Wednesday.
And that makes sense. I hadn't thought about that necessarily, because most conventions are over the weekends. And so you have hobbyists.
Right.
Amateurs or people who are part-time professionals. And the only full-time, the main full-time professionals are those who are already employed as talent to perform there.
Right.
So they're
being
paid to come in.
Exactly.
But those who are being paid to work other places have the week nights off.
Yes, that's very true. And of course, we all love seeing each other. Although the weird thing is, most of us haven't seen each other's shows in years. I either have to take a break and go on a cruise to see a friend of mine or something. That's the only way, or if they come into town to see mine.
Well, you've been doing Esther's Follies for now 18 years, 19?
Oh, gosh, no, longer than that. My 30th year since the first time I hit the boards, but Esther's anniversary this year is their 38th anniversary, which I believe is the handgun anniversary backstage, is what we're saying anyway.
just still going strong, still having a great time, and you know, the windows are as crazy as ever back there.
Yeah. For those of you who have not been to Austin, you need to go to Esther's Follies. They really don't have much of a website. They don't have much of a web presence, but they don't need it because, I mean, they do. You have a website. I think EstersFollies.com.
We do, but it's basically just to sell tickets online. But we've always been word of mouth, and we're always sold out. So I think maybe if that didn't happen, I don't know what we would do.
But you had a good point when you were saying, you know, you're really an underground or a cult kind of a hero, that those who know about this will travel far distances just to see it.
Yeah, it's really interesting in the last even 5 years, though, that we almost have magicians in the house almost every single night that will come up afterwards. Now, that was never the case for many, many years.
And now they're hearing about it.
Now they hear about it, so they come in to see the show. And I guess that's a good thing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. That's great. How are you enjoying your new place, by the way? You moved since you moved.
I love it. You know, I live at the Hilton right behind Esther's, so I walk to work every day. It's right across the street.
How great is that?
It's incredible. I had to store a lot of my, you know, I collect mattress memorabilia, posters especially.
Yeah, yeah.
But I picked out the ones that I like the best, and I actually had room on this one wall for a giant George, actually.
Yeah,
and it's the billboard, the one that's 18 feet wide by 9 feet tall, and basically consumes the entire condo. But it's really great. We've enjoyed it. Living downtown is a lot of fun. And now, of course, the cast can just come right over after the show. And we can't kick them out for hours.
Because it's my place,
yeah.
You know, speaking of posters, I just was talking to Lupe Nielsen. She was saying that Norm's going to be, all of his posters are no longer in his collection, that Gabe Fiore's going to be selling over the next
Yes, that's
years.
Absolutely
you
right. I have heard that, as a matter of fact.
Are
in
you
fact,
excited?
I was contacted. No, because I have no room anymore.
Oh, that's right.
I have so many posters that are already in storage now, but I wish I could, but hey, you know, we're conserving now. We've downsized. That's the word, downsized.
Yeah, that's something I'm planning on doing over the next couple years. My wife says, "No, this is a long story, but yes, I'm moving from a three-story to a single story, I think, eventually."
Yeah, that's the same for us. You know, we had this big three-story house, 4,500 square feet. The place that we moved into, we kept on the weekends just to have for fun downtown when I got too tired, because I'm getting older, tired to drive home.
Yeah.
And so we use that place on the weekends sometimes. We never dreamed that we'd end up living there full-time, but it's been wonderful, and it's amazing the things that you don't realize you have until you start liquidating a house that size. So if you need any tips, please call.
Okay, you're good.
And I know all about getting rid of stuff. I always tell people it's like it's so hard to get rid of things, and what they think is that I'm saying, oh, I have sentimental attachment, and that's not it at all. It's literally hard to get rid of stuff because you have to go, you know, consignment stores and everything else, you know, to get rid of it.
Yeah, my wife has no compunction whatsoever about getting rid of stuff. You know, she's saying that, let me do it. In fact, I think I'm afraid to come to this convention because when I come back, I'm afraid that I'm going to be having some stuff that is no longer where I had left.
Well, the nice thing is you can just buy new stuff while you're here. So
that's right. Now, anything that comes in, something's got to go out. So what she says, for every ball cap, every T-shirt, whatever I get now. You
that's
know?
Right. Well, and we hate it when people give us things now because we have no room.
That's nice, but
don't even give us a mug or anything. We really don't want
coffee
it.
Mugs.
Yeah, that's right,
too. Ray Anderson, thank you very much.
Good to see you.
It's Scotty out from the Magic Word.
Scotty out.
How I wish that there were more than 24 hours in the day. Even if there were 40 more.
Well, I know Senator Turnaround, and I run into Dennis Watkins over here from Chicago that we haven't talked to in years. How you doing there, Dennis?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Fantastic. It looks like you've been losing some weight, been working out.
Oh, thank you for that. I appreciate
it. Seriously, I guess it's so the Houdini thing. You kind of got to keep working out.
Keeps me sweating.
Now, you were just saying that you are going to be doing the Houdini show then again? Or
yes. Next summer, we're going to open it for a 15-week run in Chicago, starting in June.
Okay. And if you haven't seen that, that is a fantastic show. It got very good reviews and ran for how long last time?
Last time we ran it for about 8 months altogether. Yeah. But that was our third run of it. So we've got another one coming up. This is the show that won't die.
Yeah. And then at the Palmer House, were you doing the...
The Palmer House, we're doing the Magic Parlor, which we're now doing 5 shows a week. 2 on Friday, 2 on Saturday, and 1 on Sunday.
And that's like, what, $50 a ticket or something?
They're $75 on Friday and Sunday. Saturday and 79 on Saturday.
Does that include two drinks, a dinner, or what is it?
Actually, my producer's going to kill me for saying it, but it's an open bar at that price.
So. Okay. I remember there was some other kind of a little incentive in there.
You can have as much of the beer, wine, and soft drinks as you want.
Now, they actually go down, I remember going into the bar first, and then you go up to the room.
Yeah, we all meet down at a little bar on the lobby level, and then we escort the group up to the performance room for the show.
And what is the max seat capacity there?
44.
Okay. And do you typically get like 30, 40 people in there?
Typically, we're between 35 and 44, somewhere in that range.
There's a lot of magic going on in Chicago.
They
have the Thursday Magic Lounge, they've got the magic bar guys that are out there.
Which is a terrific thing. Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, I really love it.
Been there in a while.
But really there are
other things going on, it seems like, with magic now. There was another one that was Haunted Chicago or something.
Neil Tobin's show.
Is he still doing that?
You know what? I don't know.
I think not. For some reason, I thought that
it shut down last year, and I don't know if it's reopened or not. But there's a lot of magic going on in Chicago right now, and it's really great.
If people wanted to find out about how to get tickets for your show, how would they?
You would look at the magicparlorchicago.com if you're looking for the Magic Parlor, or the House Theater of Chicago, or thehousetheater.com for the Houdini show, for Death and Harry Houdini.
And are your posters still available, by the way?
They are indeed.
I think they're one of the best posters. I guess you saw I posted one.
I did. Thank you for that. They're done by, I'll give them a plug, the Delicious Design League, which is a little Chicago design firm, and they're amazing.
They are amazing.
Yeah.
Did they do the Houdini poster
They
also?
Did them both, yeah.
Those are both just amazing posters.
Same artist did both of those by hand. Mm-hmm. He's amazing.
Wow. So what else is new? What else are you working on? Are you traveling or staying mostly around home?
I've been traveling, frankly, a little more than I would like right now, but you can't complain about it because it's there and it's good, and that's just mostly, corporate gigs and trade shows and that kind of nonsense.
Now, I see Christopher Carter coming in from town from time to time. Now, has he got a show, or is he on the road, or is he?
He's on the road a lot. In fact, I just saw something on Facebook where he said that for the next 26 days, he's in the airport on 22 of them. So he's trucking it right now.
Okay. Yeah. I know he does a lot of not only corporate shows, but also apparently he's been doing some speaking engagements.
He has indeed.
But a lot of the college circuit that he's doing.
So. Yeah.
But I knew he had his own show for a while that he had run in Chicago.
He did, and he does it from time to time. Yeah. I don't know off the top of my head if he has plans to put it up, but I know that he's loved doing it.
And that's another great show. People get a chance to see that. He's got a completely different take on things.
Yeah.
Cool the heck out of me on some of them.
He is a great thinker, man, and he blows me away.
Yeah. Well, Dennis, thank you very much. Are you enjoying the convention?
Sir. So far, so good.
Yeah. And it's going to only get better. This isn't your first one, is it?
This is my first Magic Live.
Well, then let me ask you, why is it now? Why haven't you attended any of the others over all the years?
I have to tell you, I decided to do this one because I realized that it landed at a time when I had an open week, and I jumped on it because I just hadn't been able to do it in the past. So I'm thrilled to be here.
Yeah. Because you'd heard about it, of course.
I've heard it's the convention to go to.
If you're going to be going to a convention, that's true. That's you can tell. It's sold out. Like 1,500 people. So, and the reason they sell out is because there's a max seat capacity in the theater down there, and they fill it twice. I think there's only 800 seats, and so they got 1,600 people when it's full. So there are no seats available for the public that way. And, there are so many people. I was just talking to Ray Anderson, who was saying that a lot of the reasons he thinks that some of the full-time pros are here is because it's Sunday through Wednesday night.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
So it's a weekday instead of a weekend. So a lot of guys going to come. Plus, there are a lot of pros who live here in Vegas, of course. And it's kind of good to come and hang out and see friends.
Well,
it's good seeing you then.
Likewise, sir. Enjoy yourself.
I will. Good seeing you. And for the Magic Word Podcast, this is Dennis Watkins. This is Scotty L. Scott Wills for MagicWordPodcast.com, and of course everything that's going on is going on in the dealer's room on Sunday night, the first night. I'm here with Steve Chesedey, fresh from colon right now.
Oh my God.
How's things going, Steve?
Talk about a whirlwind trip. We were in Colon, Michigan in the middle of Amish country just about 24 hours ago.
Yeah.
Got back to Chicago at 2 in the morning. Got a little sleep, took care of my pets, and on a plane and we're out in Vegas now. It's wild.
And so you didn't get any sleep, I guess, then?
Oh, my God.
I mean, you didn't get any sleep last week, because, I mean, you're working backstage there.
Yes. We put in a lot of hours.
Hi, Carol.
There she is.
You are on the Magic Word podcast.
On the podcast.
No way.
Yes, you are.
Well, I feel so special.
But, yeah, so it's so quiet and calm out here, and then we come to this. It's quite a shock, you know.
Who was on the finalized show Saturday?
We had Jason Bishop, Tom Mullica. Who else was on there? It's kind of a blur.
Sure.
Who else? Oh, my God. It was yesterday.
Yeah, just last night.
I can't think right now. I can't think.
So you actually drove back to Chicago after last night?
Yeah, 3 hours. Got home 2 in the morning. And I have a German Shepherd, and I got to take care of him.
Yeah.
I haven't seen him for a couple of days, and it kills me. But I'll be back home in a little bit. You know what? This is funny. I've been thinking, because I'm a listener.
Yeah. And a friend of the Magic Word also.
I just love the podcast. I listen to it on my walks. You haven't asked me what my magic word is.
And many times I've talked with you, and I haven't.
That's
asked
right.
You.
Okay. You got to ask.
Well, you know, one of the last things I like to do before we wrap up our podcast.
Oh, okay. We'll keep talking. No. But I'm just saying, it came to my mind. I'm like, you know, he never asked me, and I really have to think about that. But anyway, Abbott's was awesome.
Yeah.
We had a good crowd. Perfect weather out there this year.
Not humid or anything. It didn't rain.
Well, it's
or...
humid, but it wasn't ridiculous.
Yeah.
The stage was hot.
I heard that Tom Mullica was up till 2 a.m. in the cemetery telling stories.
You know, I saw that afterwards, and I was like, dang it, I forgot all about that.
Well,
it was
a scheduled thing,
Well,
kind of.
Well, they usually are out in the cemetery after midnight for a tour and whatnot, and it's just, there's so much going on, but, you know, again, I'm working, so it's hard to keep track of everything else.
Yeah.
I mean, we barely have time to eat.
I mean, I was going to say, you really don't get to enjoy the rest of the convention, because, I mean, you got rehearsals if you're working.
Yeah. No, we're stuck at the school from the time the lecture's over. We go right into rehearsal, then the show, and then we're done.
Is you and Mark Holstein, and who else is working then?
Artie Kidwell.
How's Artie's health, by the way? I heard
he's good. He's good. I mean, he's drove himself up there and whatnot. And he's back to normal.
Good.
You know, so I'm well as normal
his
as he
normal.
Could be, yes.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, he's doing good, and
Tim's today.
Oh, Tim. Yep, Tim's on the thing.
Brian
LeBeuf.
I should ask Carol.
I know.
Boyer, like, looking him up.
Jeff Boyer.
Jeff.
And who else is back there?
No,
Richard.
Richard Hughes.
Come on, I know
Richard Hughes. How many years? These guys have all been doing it like 20, 30 years, I guess.
I've been doing it 20 years myself. I'm the youngster on the crew.
I was going to say, I thought Mark's been doing it for 35 years.
That's because Blade wasn't there this year.
Yeah, my little buddy Blade wasn't there.
Yeah.
So I was the little man on the totem pole most of the time. But we had a great time, and you know, Greg was real happy with the turnout, and
this was the 78th
next year, the 79th, and I'll be there again.
I'm already registered for next year.
There you go. That's awesome.
Yeah. I told Don and Joyce Weiberg to register for me before they left, because I couldn't come this year.
Yeah.
I know.
A lot going on here today.
Yes, there is.
Look at that.
Right?
What was that?
I don't know.
Holy moly. That was a costume.
Oh,
they weren't
real. You know what? I was in costume this year, which was a big gag. John Bundy and Morgan did their pirate act, and as a stagehand, they had me dress up in a pirate outfit.
Oh, I saw that on Facebook.
I was briefly on stage, but boy, it got a big laugh, because it was pretty out of character for me to be in a pirate outfit. But they really got a kick out of it.
Have you been to Magic Live before? You guys?
Oh, yeah. I've been to Magic Live since the beginning of time. I was a subscriber to Inside Magic, which was a newsletter.
Yeah, from his magic shop in DC,
Oh, man. I mean, we've been here. I've been here, you know, since the beginning. I don't know how many it is, but...
I think this is number 7.
That's quite possible. I've been here every time. Carol's been here...
I think this is my 3rd or 4th time.
Yeah. Kind of lose track.
What do you enjoy the most about it?
It's just seeing so many people, friends from all across across the country. And, you know, I really like the talks, the sessions that they have. I mean, it's a different type of thing rather than a lecture. I really enjoy that. The brief talk about a subject, and then you move
like
on to the next
thing. Like a TED talk kind of a thing.
Oh, it's awesome. I really like that. And then I also like that you don't know who's going to be on the show. That's kind of fun, too. It's always a surprise. Last year, we thought for sure the last night show was supposed to be The Illusionist. I thought.
Yeah.
Because they were all here. And my friend Dan, my friend Sperry is on the show, and I thought, okay, he's here, Hobson's here, they're going to just do the show. No big deal. And I thought, you know, because Dan was pulling the wool over my eyes, and he kept on saying, no, really, we're not doing it. I'm like, you're such a liar. And sure enough,
sure.
Oh, man, he was for killing sure. me. But
he
then it didn't happen.
But with us, like in the back. And we're like, oh, why is he standing in line going in with
I thought he was going that
just,
far.
He's just going
he's
that far.
Messing with you, yeah.
Yeah,
I thought for sure. But yeah, so it was kind of a fizzle at the end there. But still, an awesome time. I remember a couple years ago they did the Carnival of Wonders,
yeah,
which just blew me away.
Right.
Oh, and the Sawing in Half show. Do you remember that one?
I do.
Oh, my God.
That was like a history of Sawing in Half or something.
Yeah,
and everybody gave their own
so
presentation.
Cool. I was freaking out, man. That was awesome. I really enjoyed that. So
yeah. Yeah, every year is something different. You really, it's hard to say what are you looking forward to this year because you don't know what's going to happen.
Know. It's
well,
awesome.
Well, that was the way Stan plans this, is to be kind of like a magazine because you don't know what's going to be on the next page. Sure, you can look at the index and kind of see what's going to be happening.
Right.
But the excitement is once you get to that page, it may not be what you thought it was going to be.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's
cool.
Like the magazine that it unfolds all the time. So it's a lot of fun.
So I'm going to be listening to this on my walk with my German Shepherd.
That'll be kind of surreal, huh?
Oh, no, it is very strange, especially when you mention my name on different things and stuff, and I'm like, dang it, he's talking about me again. So, fun stuff, but like I said, I'm a huge listener. I listen to every one of your episodes, and I just, you know, really, I look at my phone, and I wait to see a new episode pop up, and I'm like, dang it, he didn't do one yet. Drives me crazy. But like when you were at FISM, it was like I was there, and I was like, oh, another one. Oh, man, you know. So I really look forward to it, and it's just, you know, something nice to have in the background, even if I'm working or picking up crab apples. I mean, I'm telling
you. Well, I thank you. You know, that there was picking up crab apples. There was a one fellow who had joined, become a friend of Magic Word, and had given a donation, and he said that he was going back and forth, walking from the hotel to the Congress Conference Center every day, and he said it was about an hour walk, and so it gave me a chance to listen to the podcast, something to do on my walk. And what was surreal to me when he told me that, I thought, I was driving by you probably every day, not knowing who you were, thinking there's someone who's listening to me, you know, who's out there.
Really wild what the technology is today and how we're using it, but I have everything on my phone, and I am lost without my phone. It's kind of sad, but I'm a big Apple fan too, so I mean that's
so. Let me ask you, kind of wrapping up.
Here we go.
I don't know if you had time to think about this, but I always like to find out what is your magic word. What's important to you?
You know what's funny? My magic word is pride. You should have pride in your work and what you do, even if it's performing or building. You know, and I'm a builder myself. But you should have pride in your work. Stand back, look at it. Pride is also a sin, as far as I know, and and it can get you in trouble if you have too much pride.
But seven deadly sins.
Yes, it is.
Humble.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Carol tries to keep me humble, but my woodwork, my pieces in my show are finished inside and out. Nobody would ever see it except I do. I was taught that way. A builder named Walter Shepherd showed me how to finish my work. I was a builder beforehand, but he showed me how to wet sand and how to do all the detail work, where I asked him, I go, nobody's ever going to see the bottom of the prop. Why did you go that far? And he goes, they won't see it. He goes, but I will see it. And that was it. I was just like, that makes sense to me. I mean, Walter passed away about 9 years ago, and I still keep in touch with his widow. We still visit her every time we're in Ohio. And it's just, he taught me a lot of amazing things about magic and about life. And he took pride in his work. I take pride in my work. And that's my magic word.
Pride.
Pride. Pride. And it's a sin, which is kind of fun. I like that too.
Pride in moderation.
So, Carol, yours?
Oh, my God.
Now you got to come up with a magic word. It's like your motto, what you live by. You tell her.
That's right. What is your chi? What is your philosophy of life? What makes you, what drives you? What's important in your life?
Oh, adventure.
Adventure.
Put it that way.
Wow, I've not heard that one before. That's good.
Yeah. Because I was a teacher for 6 years, and I didn't like it, not because I didn't like the kids or anything, but just I didn't like being stuck in a classroom.
She forgot to mention she worked with the nuns.
Yeah.
She was at a Catholic school, yeah, which I can understand.
Okay. But I just felt like...
You didn't like whacking people with the ruler.
She wasn't a nun.
No. I had to work with them. But I just felt like I was on autopilot every single day.
Imagine Magic Steve with a nun.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, what?
But yeah, I feel like I've gotten to where, like, as long as it's not going to kill me, I will try it. Like, I do, you know, try.
Oh, wait a minute. What's that all about?
Fire breathing. I love
everything
magic. You know, like, I just want, I will like to try, you know.
You ever put a nail up your nose?
No, but I would.
Not yet.
I would try that, yeah.
At the IBM convention a few years ago, Todd Robbins was teaching that in Phoenix.
We
John Weiberg and all of us tried.
We actually met here. Carol was into magic even before we met. And we actually met here, I think, 6 years ago, was it?
Here in front of Tannen's booth?
No.
In the lobby.
She came out. We knew each other online or whatnot. She actually came out to meet me,
yeah,
and we've kept in touch. And then she moved out to the Chicago area,
yeah,
and we've been together since.
Yeah.
Had you been to Chicago before? Or?
Yeah, I had visited. We have friends kind of out, like 30 minutes past town.
But part of the adventure thing—that's where it comes in. It's an adventure every day with me.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Never know what's going to happen.
No, you don't.
No,
why
you
should adventure?
Yeah.
No, we've been all over the place. I mean, from California to weeks later, we were with a circus in Baraboo.
Yeah.
I mean, every month is some crazy adventure. I mean,
yeah.
She was in a ring with an elephant. I mean, normal people don't do those kind of things.
No.
And I think I've opened up many pathways to some crazy
but
stuff.
But it's important. I think that you have a sense of adventure in your life, and you have a reason to get up and be excited about your life.
I just like the sin part of it.
She's very good.
I'm just a horrible guy, that's all.
Very good work. Well, thank you guys very much. I appreciate it.
Hey, look at that. It's David Hyra. Look at that.
That's right, the silent mime.
Another listener.
The talking mime. Yes.
Well, great to see you.
Good to see you. Thank you. Steve Chesney and Carol for the Magic Word Podcast. This is Scotty out.
Las Vegas turning day into night, time turning night into daytime. If you see it once, you'll never be the same again.
This. Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com, and as we're starting to wrap up the end of the day, that I ran into Tom Mullica, and we were talking with someone earlier about the fact that you were up until 2 in the morning telling stories. Now, I remember in Colon at the Magic have a get together, and that it was the first time you actually saw your headstone.
Since it was put up.
I showed you a picture of it, but you hadn't actually seen it.
No, I hadn't seen it live.
Yeah, seen it live. That's right.
Yeah.
A live headstone.
And when I laid down there, I sort of felt like I was sinking. I sort of wanted to get up real quick. And my sister saw it on Facebook, and she wrote me, she said, "I don't like ye." So I wrote her back, and I said, "Why not ye?" Carol Fox did it. Al Leone did it. You know,
well, I was going to say, now, Carol used to go over there, at Duke's grave, and tell stories and have a drink and all that kind of stuff.
We all sit up till the wee hours and tell magic stories.
There you go.
Yeah.
Just now you're getting ready to do the same kind of thing, I guess.
That's really a headstone, because my head is right up against it.
Yeah, I'm showing you a picture of that. That is great.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like you.
Why not?
You got a big smile.
I'm glad it wasn't wet either. When I laid down there, I thought I was going to get up and I was going to soak in wet. but it was fun. It was, all the Conklin showed up.
I was going to say, how many people actually showed up?
Like 15, 18.
Oh, that's a good size group then. Yeah.
Yeah, and Ali only had a speaker and a microphone. He had a little lantern, and you know, because it was really dark. So when they took the pictures, that wasn't just the flash photography. That was car lights and stuff like that.
Oh, wow.
And people were driving by wondering what the hell was happening in the cemetery. Yeah. You know?
I saw the Coleman lanterns and everything
out
there.
Yeah, it was fun.
Now, that's not the way that it was with Carol, was it?
Carol?
Yeah, no, I mean, they only had two or three or four people.
Yeah, it was more like just the Coleman people, Duke and Carol and me and Ab Dixon and some of the Conklins.
And they're just stories
about Duke and the other people buried. There's like almost 60 people there buried now.
I'm thinking about buying
it. Have you read that book?
Oh, yeah, I got a copy.
It's a great book.
Yeah, it is.
It really is a neat book. Mm-hmm. And I think lay people would be interested in that. If I saw that in a bookstore, you know, a graveyard for magicians, I'd pick it up and buy it. That's an interesting story, man.
It's idle even alone.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So let's just hope I don't have to go back until... Did you hear the story about Ricky Dunn? He did one of his last shows at the Get Together, and he really did a terrible show.
Yeah.
And when he left town, he says, "I'm never coming back to this day. I'm never coming back to this place as long as I live." But when he died, he didn't have any family, so they buried him there. Ricky Dunn's in the cemetery too. So if he knew he was buried in the place that he hated so much.
Well, it was a story Dave Sandy had told me about. Who was that? Charlie Miller. Someone who was buried with a dog it was the wrong...
Clark Crandall. He had a monkey and a dog, I think. I don't know if he was buried with a dog.
Who was the guy in Kansas City? He was a card magician. And it seems, anyhow... The Fawcett Ross.
Oh, he had a dog. Oh, yes, David did tell that story.
Was it a cat or a dog or something?
It was a cat.
Yeah, and he hated this cat.
That's right. Oh, it's a hell of a funny story. God, I forgot that.
I got to find David.
Yeah, ask, is he here?
Yeah, he is.
Ask him, because I don't remember how it goes either.
That is a hoot. Yes, yeah.
Curtis is buried with the ashes of his favorite dog.
Tony Curtis is?
Tony Curtis.
The actor.
And he's kind of related to magic. You know,
that's Houdini. Right, Houdini.
I went to his funeral. He's buried over here next to the airport. Close to the airport. And he lived in Henderson. But she buried him in his favorite white Bermuda shorts and sweater and Stetson.
Yeah, that big hat.
And that big hat. And with his favorite, the ashes of his favorite dog.
Yeah.
And some gold coins and some DVDs of his movies and golf clubs and all kinds
of stuff. You heard the story about when Duke died. When Duke died, they had his ashes and they were going to wrap him up to send him for the burial. And they saw a stack of papers in Riesel's office, and they took the papers and they used that for packing around Duke's ashes. You know what? They were the stencils for the Abbott's catalog, the next Abbott's catalog. Because Abbott's used to use the stencil machine to run that off.
Sure.
And there were every other paper was a stencil between there. And they were all the original stencils for the new catalog, and they're all in Duke's grave.
That's funny. Isn't it?
I know.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to hear that story. I just wanted to follow up on that since we were talking about that.
I was having fun at my grave, and hopefully... I won't be heading back there for a long time.
For a while.
Yeah.
You won't go back there while you're alive.
No. No, I won't.
Thanks a lot.
It's a family. Colin's really a neat place. You know what you said earlier? Because if it weren't for those guys teaching me when I was a kid, you know, like Carol Fox and stuff, because I was only 18 when I went to my first get-together. And it was like that, too. I'm sure Carol saw a lot of his friends had passed away, but he was teaching young guys and stuff, too. Yeah. It's a neat place.
Yeah.
All right. Nothing like a good colon.
Yeah. I think I'm going to be buried in a colon. End on that note.
Yeah, we'll end on that note. Thanks, Jeff. Toot, toot. Okay.
You're breaking up.
The magic word. This is Tom Mulligan. Scotty out.